Hey, good morning, everyone. Freilich of Yaakov Halach Ladarkei. We should all get t-shirts. We did it. We lived through Tishrei. And now it's time to start again in earnest. And so it's a great joy and a schus to be here and again, Parshas Bereishis. So our sicha, it's in the chat. You have a link to the sicha, and if you want, it's a kutta sichas yud, and it's the first sicha. They're Bereishis, and there's we're going to do the first sicha. Aleph, dubar kama pa'amim. The Rebbe says we have spoken many times. Da'af she'ikar inyana shel perish Rashi al ha'Torah hu levayer pshuta shel mikra. Even though the stated mandate, the main task of Rashi on the Torah is to explain the pshat of the psukim. Kimudgash b'divrei Rashi atzmai b'kama v'kama mekemes. Like Rashi himself underscores in a number of places, and the Rebbe brings down in the footnotes a lot of different places where the Rebbe underscores that his main mandate is pshat, and one of those places is in this week's parsha in Parag Gimel, and let me just. The Rebbe brings down a number of places where Rashi says it, but the first place is in Perek Gimel. Wanted to bring down the exact words here. On the pasuk, Perek Gimel pasuk Ches. And on the words Vayishmu is Kol Hashem Elokim is Halach began. On the words that Adam and Chava heard the voice of God in the garden. So Rashi says Yesh Midrashi Agada Rabim. There are a lot of different midrashim on these words. Ukfar Sidrim Rabbeinu Al Mechayim Bevesis Rabba Bashar Midrashis. And Rashi says, and our sages have dealt with this and they have ordered them. But here's the words of Rashi says Vani. But I loy basi lipshuta shel mikra. But I have come only to give you the pshat of the pasuk Ula Agada Shebes Divrei Hamikra Davar. Dibor Alefanov. I've come only to give you the pshat, and I'll also give you agada. I'll also give you agadata, that kind of result or synchronizes the words of the pasuk with their idea and how you're supposed to properly understand it. So Rashi says that his stated mandate is to bring pshuta shel mikra. Mikol makim, still in all, the Rebbe says. Klulim v'nirmazim b'perish Rashi gam inyanim muflaim. But even though Rashi very, very humbly says, I've only come to give you the pshat, but in Rashi are included and alluded to all kinds of inyanim muflaim, wondrous concepts, shel shar chelkei haTorah, of the other parts of the Torah, that is not just pshat, but remez, illusory, and drash, homiletics, and sight. The secrets of Torah. Kimibor b'shalah, like the shalah brings down, gam razin da'araisa, that there are also the secrets of the Torah found in Rashi, opiskam admar hazakein, and as is known, the well-known aphorism of the Alter Rebbe, sheperish Rashi ala chumish, hu yena shel Torah, that the perish of Rashi on chumish is the wine of the Torah. It's what you get when you squeeze it, just like when you squeeze grapes, you get the most valuable and the most delicious aspect of it and the most effective, so too is Rashi. And here are the words of the Alter Rebbe. It's found in the Hayyim Yayim of Chav Tesh Shvat. The Alter Rebbe had a mol gezak. The Alter Rebbe once said, Perish Rashi of Chumash is Yena Shel Torah. That the Perish of Rashi and Chumash is the wine of Torah. If it opens the heart, umegala ava v'yira atzmius, and it exposes and it reveals the latent and essential love Hashem that every Jew has. Perish Rashi of Gemara, Rashi's perish on the Gemara is Paseach HaMoyach U'megala Seichel Atzmi. It opens the mind, it opens the cognitive aspect, and it reveals the essential intellect that we have. Okay. So move on. So if we're saying that Rashi has all these wondrous aspects, it's understood. If this is true of everything that Rashi says, how much more so this is true as we relate it to the opening and the first teaching of Rashi on the Torah. And generally speaking, Hari Matzinu Bahaskolas Kama Bakamin Yanim Shemudgosh Bahem Ikur Teichonim. And generally we find that it's at the beginning of something, you have included in it and you have underscored what is its main aspect. So many times in the Sikhas we find that the Rebbe says, and we had in last time we learned the Sikha, the Rebbe cited in Gemara Brachas, Hakol Helach Achri Achitum. Rebbe underscores that everything goes after that, kind of everything is kind of judged by how it ends. So when you end something, you want to end on a strong note. And here the Rebbe is saying in parallel fashion that very, very often you have the main essence of what you want to impart is found at the very beginning. So by the way, these are very good writing lessons. You know, when you start and when you end, or when you speak, you kind of want to lay out what you're going to say in the beginning, and you want to conclude in a very strong way, because that's what people are going to remember. So here the Rebbe talks about the beginning. And the Rebbe says that in general, we find that it's at the beginning that we establish what it is you want to talk about. We'll move on Gamkin. So we understand from this here too, Shahayena Shel Torah, the Ha-Hayra, that the wine of the Torah that is found in Rashi, and the lesson, Sayeshna Bepiskazu, the lesson that's found in this particular teaching, Uliyasa Haskalas HaPerish L'Chol Torah Shebichsa, because it's the beginning of Rashi's perush on the entire Torah Shebichsav, Einai Rak Inyan Prati. So therefore, we have to understand that what Rashi is telling us in this Rashi is not a detail. Kim Beinyan Klali Hashayach Lechlalus HaTorah Mitzvaseh. That's for that this Rashi is kind of a touchstone Rashi. It's everything else comes from this. And it's shayach, it's relevant to the entirety of Torah and the entirety of mitzvahs. Beis. So we're now in the second part of the sikha, chelek yud, the first sikha ambrosius. Rashi matchil perush al Torah. So how does Rashi start his entire perush on the Torah? He starts in the following way. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, Lo hayatzarik lahaskil as a Torah elamei chedush hazelachem. The Torah should have started with the pasuk, which is found in Shemais, in Perek Yud Beis, that this month shall be for you the mitzvah of kiddush chedush. Why? Shehi mitzvah rishayna shenistavu by Yisrael, because this is the first mitzvah that the Jews got. Umatam pasach bevreishis. So what's the reason that the Torah begins with the story of Bereishis? Mishum, so now here Rashi cites a pasuk from Tehillim, Kufyur Aleph. Mishum, it says in Tehillim, koyach masav higid l'amay, lases lohem nachalas goyim. Because of the concept that's contained in this pasuk of Tehillim, that he declared the power of his works to his people, in order to give them the inheritance of the nations. What does this mean? She'im yaimru umas ha'olam liyisrael listem atem, she'kavashtem arts shiva goyim. If the other nations are going to say to Bnei Yisrael, you're thieves, that you captured, that you overtook, that you vanquished the land of the seven nations. Heim aimim lahem, so Bnei Yisrael will say to them, kol ha'aretz ha'kadosh baruch hu. All land, all property, all space, everything belongs to God. Hu bara v'nasna l'asher yasha be'inav. He created it and he gave it to those that he thought it's proper to give it to them. Britzaynai nasna lahem. It was with his will that he gave it to the other nations. Or Britzaynai nakla mehem benasna lanu. And it is his will, it is with his will that he took it from them and he gave it to us. So therefore, the whole Torah starts with Bereishis Bara Elokim to establish who is the owner of all land. Okay. So Hayra Hayena shel Torah shebazeh muvenes bepashtos. So the lesson from this is understood simply, the Rebbe says. And what is it? Ein ha'adam. And it's so interesting. I just want to say because. It just occurred to me, the Rebbe very many times underscored that the whole begins with Layevish Pnei HaMaligim, that you should embarrass in front of those that scoff you. And here the Rebbe is bringing out the same thing about the first Rashi, that you shouldn't be nispa, that you shouldn't be affected and you shouldn't back down. Ein adam tzarich l'srashi mishum davar hamenage l'kiyum v'tachtayim mitzvahs. A person should not be l'srashim. Help me here. It's a small. Everybody can unmute themselves. L'srashim. Don't be affected. Don't be nispol. Shouldn't affect you from those that. I'm sorry.
Impressed.
That's exactly. Thank you. Don't be impressed by those who run contra to keeping Torah mitzvahs. So when the nations of the world come and they come with a taina, they come with a complaint, or they come with a thesis, and they say to Bnei Yisrael, you don't have to keep what is commanded in the Torah. Because according to their understanding, it's opposite seichel, it's opposite logic. K'may tanasim b'davar kivusha shel Eretz Yisrael, shegam zeh Baruch Hu, like their perennial and generation-long complaint that we have no right to Eretz Yisrael, which was a tzivui. This was also a God's command to us that we should take over Eretz Yisrael. Ein libnei Yisrael is rashi mizeh klal. We should not be impressed. We should not be affected by this. Va'adraba aleim lishazik b'kiyum haTorah mitzvos. This has to strengthen our commitment to keep Torah mitzvos. V'la'anos lahem, and we have to answer. Shezeh ha'inai shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to simply. This is God's will. And we have to understand that when we keep Torah mitzvos, we fulfill the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, what is logical or is not logical in the small minds of a person who's of flesh and blood that can never reach the seichel of God is not relevant to this discussion. So you're coming, we don't understand it, or it's not logical. What do you understand about the Seichel of Eibishter? We have to keep what Eibishter tells us. Beram, in truth, Zuhi Hayra Klolus Michlolus Teichen HaPeirush. This is the overarching and the general lesson that we have to take. Move on. Shegam Biprate Hadavarim Shebeperish Rashi Ubifrat Bepiska Harishaina. Yeshnun, Hayroz, Ubanidu Didan Clolius. But it's understood that even though we can very simply grasp this lesson, don't back down, don't be impressed, don't cower in the face of people who are scoffing. But it's understood, the Rebbe says, that there are details in this Rashi, and from these details, and especially because we've established that the first Rashi of the entire Torah contains something that is generally important to us for all of Torah mitzvahs, there are lessons embedded in all the details. Vihine, prat ikri b'yisoidi b'perish Rashi zeh, a basis for Rashi's pshat here, and what seems to be a detail, but it's a very important detail. And it's a detail that forms the basis of Rashi's parish here. Akasov, it's the pasuk, Shemeviyo, that he brings from Tehillim, Koyach Masav Higid La'amai. He told his nation of the power of his doings. Lases lehem nachalas goyim, in order to give them the inheritance of the nations. Kere hu hu hayisoid l'shlilas ta'anasam. Because this pasuk contains the secret to obviating the complaint of the other nations. Uboro, so it's clear. Shepratze bo loheris hara klolis bavaydasa yisbarach. And so this pasuk clearly comes to teach us a general lesson in our Aveda of Hashem. V'tzarech lahavin. So we have to understand. And the Rebbe here maps out Aleph. Mahi hahayra. What is the lesson embedded in this particular pasuk? Because Rashi could have made the same point without bringing this pasuk. Beis. Mahu hadiyuk b'tebas koyach. What is the specificity in the word koyach that precedes the word ma'asav? Hare hakavana bazel lahasbir shehayidia shasav shel Kadosh Baruch Hu haynu shehu baris ha'olam mechayeves shebiyadai b'shusa yisbarach lases lehem nachalas goyim. It would seem that without putting the word koyach there, we would still understand, because the point of this pasuk is the knowledge that everything is the mass of Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is God's business. This is God's doing. He created the world. And knowing that he created the world, michayebes, it makes us, it's michayev us. We become obligated to understand that everything is reshus, everything is in his, it's all his prerogative. And therefore, he could give us the nachla of the goyim. He could give us that the goyim lived in. Uma ba lelamdenu hakoyach shebemasav shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that word koyach seems to be extraneous. Why do we need it? It's about the masav shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. God, this is God's doing. Gimel. Lashon harogil b'yaser u'b'kiyaser b'zeh hu amar. Usually, when we talk about things being told, imparted, said, the default term would be amar. That would be the default edema. The shayrish, k'may shenemar, kama pamim, gam b'parshasenu, uke ha'hem shach b'patzma, oyim rim lahem. And we find this all over our parsha, amar. And in Rashi's perush here, later on, he says, or we find diber, or we find the Edamon, the Shairish Siper, Veloy Higid. The term Higid is kind of a unique and less used. But why here? Koyach Masav Higid La'amav. Okay? So what's the Haira in bringing this Pasuk? Why does the Pasuk include the word Koyach? And why the term Higid? Gimel. V'yuvam b'haktim b'yuvam. Here in an Obruchnius. So we'll understand, we'll be able to answer these questions by prefacing with understanding the spiritual idea of Eretz Yisrael. Lasa shel Eretz Yisrael, hi kenemar. What is the superlative quality of Eretz Yisrael? Like it says in Parshas Ekev, Eretz asher eini Hashem elokecha ba mireishis hashana vat achris shana. You know, there are certain things that if you close your eyes, you could hear the Rebbe saying these words over and over. There were certain teachings. And this is something, you close your eyes, you could hear the Rebbe saying about Eretz Yisrael, sometimes with tremendous upset in his voice, sometimes with tears, sometimes with such tremendous fervor, that this is the land, that the eyes of Hashem are there from the beginning of the year. That the way in which the Ebishter overlooks and comprises this land is seen in a revealed manner, much more than in any other land. This means that even in the physical, material sense, Eretz Yisrael v'inyaneha, Nirgash or Elikusa Yisborach Begilu Yeser, that even physically, everything having to do with Eretz Yisrael, the Rebbe says Eretz Yisrael, V'inyoneha, and everything having to do with it, you could light more revealed, V'ayit, and more. Mikivon She'enei Hashem Elokecha Ba, Hare lo yitachin ba mitzad atzma, lulei bechiras ha'adam, ra v'hefech ha'kdusha. And because the eyes of Hashem are always looking at the land, isable, from the perspective of the land, it's not possible for there to be anything opposing to holiness. It's only possible because people have bechira. And so people that live in this land could do something that's contrary to the Ebershtip of the land, but from of its own can't. Because I'm bringing down a pasuk from Habakkuk, because the Ebershtip is pure, his eyes are pure, he doesn't see bad. In other words, when you talk about Eretz Yisrael, there can't be anything negative. Mizem muvan. So from this we understand that the modality of Eretz Yisrael, when we speak about the spiritually, and we speak about it in terms of our service of Hashem, of service of the person towards our master, so the level of Eretz Yisrael in our life when it comes to serving Hashem is that complete, consummate keeping of Torah mitzvahs, which is all about hamshachas gilui elokus v'shlilas hara. It's all about bringing down a revelation of godliness and obviating negativity and obviating ra, bad. Umirumas ze'agam b'hashem Yisrael, and this is embedded, and this is also hinted at in the name for this country, Eretz Yisrael. Amru Razal, our sages teach us, it says in the Gemara, Lama Nikra Shma Eretz, why is her land called Eretz? She Ratzisa Lasas Ritzayin Kaina, because this land wants to do the will of her master, of her creator, of Hashem. Eretz Milashen Ratzayin, V'gam Yisrael, and what does the name Yisrael hint at? Mayral inin hatera mitzvahs. It hints and it shows, it kind of directs our attention to the idea of tera mitzvahs, ki yadua, like it says, she Yisrael rosh tevis, that the word Yisrael is an acrostic for yesh shishim ribay oisis latera. If you count in a certain way, there are 600,000 letters. Shebav al yedei tzirufi oisis elu, through these letters and through the way in which you group them together, nizbaru kol mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs are explained. Okay, so Eretz Yisrael is this idea of serving Hashem completely in consummate fashion. Omnam kimayishu bepashas hainyanim, but just like this simple storyline. First, Eretz Yisrael was in the chelek of Noach's son Shem. Then the Knanim, I don't know what's with me this morning, I'm losing my words. They conquered the land, and in order to return it and to transform it from Eretz Canaan to Eretz Yisrael, hayat sarich liyos tchila kivush haaretz mishiva goyim. The conquering and the conquest of the land from the seven nations that lived there. So the Rebbe says, k'moy kein yuvan beruchnis. In like fashion, we have to understand spiritually that in our life, the has to be the idea of Eretz Yisrael, but there has to be the idea of also conquering Eretz Yisrael. Shenoi sabak klolas b'chinas Eretz Yisrael, that in addition to the general idea, to the general modality of Eretz Yisrael, ba'avoyda beruchnius, in actual work, yesh negam inyan shel kivush ha'aretz beruchnius. We have to understand that there also has to be the capturing, the conquering, the conquest of the land, spiritually speaking. And what is this? Ve'inyan hu. And the idea is this: Naisaf al klolus havoida dekiyam atarim mitzvahs atzman shezuhi inin eretz yisrael beruchnius. So, in addition to kemitzvahs, which is the idea of eretz yisrael beruchnius, nitzdavu kol echad v'echad, each one of us was commanded that kol maasecha yiyu l'shem shemayim, that everything we do, all of our doings, all of our overtures, all of our accomplishments should be l'shem shemayim, for the sake of heaven. Uvechol drachecha da'ehu, and in all of our ways, we should know Hashem. In everything we do should be saturated with knowledge of Hashem. Hainu, la'avayit es Hashem, lo'irak al yedei shehu mispala v'loy meter mekayim mitzvayis av Yisbarach. So we serve Hashem not only in the we daven and we learn Torah and we keep the mitzvahs. Kim gam bechol drachah v'masav sha'oseh bechol chav dalet sha'os hayom. But this has to saturate everything we do 24 hours a day. Everything has to be about serving Hashem. Gam oisen sha'oseh letzer gufay b'shvil ta'elesen hagashmias. Even those things that we do that are very clearly for the sake of these, they seem to be very material, corporeal aspects of our life that only have a ta'elis, they seem to only be helpful in the field. But this too, the Rebbe says, be part of our avodas Hashem. And it can't be done half-baked. It has to be done in the highest way possible. Ad shekol in gashmim heim betelim, until these physical things that we're involved in have to kind of be subservient to, and they have to be united with Elokus. Hametziyah shelahem, their very existence, nishafcha likdusha, has to be transformed, has to be transmuted to holiness. Vahagashmiyah shebahem, and the physical, material, corporeal aspect shouldn't even be felt by the person. And not only because of the spectacular amount of spiritual light that illuminates that aspect of life, that it's all so completely devoted to Hashem. It's all part of knowing Hashem and connecting with Hashem and becoming one with Hashem. Ela mishum shehadavar hagashmi atz niya etzlei inishal kedusha. It's not just that it has to, that this physical chore or activity that you're doing has to be saturated with God consciousness, but the physical thing itself has to become a holy, initial kedusha, something that is filled with holiness. I'm very open to ideas for how I can see my food in this way, my clothing that doesn't fit me, my makeup that has run out and I haven't ordered more. So I'm open, very open to ideas. The inyan hakibush tzarech liyos, and this idea of conquering the physical land, tzarech liyos gam bazeh shelo yistapek bazeh she'ovid es Hashem be'eis hizaskus b'dvarim gashmiyim. It has to be that you shouldn't be satisfied that you're serving Hashem during the times that are completely busy with dvarim gashmiyim, with physical material things. Ella shemidei pam bepam Hugam yigzol mehazmanim hanusunim ukvuim lachi lashtiya sheina bakulu vikoivsham lelimur hatar lakim hamitzvahs. Now this I could relate to better. The Rebbe says that the kibbutz should be not only that it's interesting that it seems like the Rebbe sees this as a harder thing to do than the first thing which he set out, which you don't see the gashmis in the gashmis at all. Not on that level. But the Rebbe says, but also the conquering has to be that you take time that's set apart for sleeping, for eating, maybe cleaning your refrigerator, and you steal that time and you conquer it for Torah and mitzvahs. I mean, isn't that what we do for a living as women?
How could it be so physical turned into spiritual?
Again, I didn't hear.
How could you take something so physical and turn it into spiritual? I don't understand. Like even like going into the sukkah, like, or something I have to just think about.
I mean, the sukkah, I mean, simply speaking, we take wood, you take plastic, take materials, and you transform it. It becomes a mitzvah. But here the Rebbe is saying that all the physical parts of your life should be so, it's not only, I mean, which I totally can't do either. It's not only that when you're eating, it should be for the sake of getting kayach to learn Torah, let's say. Not because you like the bagel, chas v'chalila, but because it gives you kayach to learn Torah. Okay, but the Rebbe is saying it until it becomes mamish adavar shebekdusha. I mean, I've heard stories, and you probably heard the same stories about a tzaddik who you know he took an apple off of the shelf to eat, and somebody was watching him, and he was like, oh, this is a holy guy. And when he asked him why he was doing it, he said he got this overwhelming desire to say the shame of Hashem, so he looked for something that he can make a bracha over, or the chassid that ate shmatas. He was just looking for something to eat. He knew he had to put some nutrition in his body. And so he ate rags. He literally ate rags that were in the kitchen. He was just looking for something to eat. I mean, it's a pathology when you eat things that are not food. But in the context of that story, it's that he was so removed from physical things that... So...
Okay.
Like I said, it's a very, very high level. V'zehu inyan kivush Eretz Yisrael ba'avodah ruchnis. So this is the idea of capturing Eretz Yisrael spiritually. Kivush inyanim artzim umayis v'hanhagas ha'olam. We conquer, we reappropriate things that are very physical, and we take them from what's done in the world, the normal way is that people eat, and not only they eat, they enjoy it, and they go out to eat, and it's a whole thing, like that famous letter from one chassid to another, that he said, America's such a weird medina, people leave their house to eat, and they sit in places where people can watch them in front of windows, and they have all these implements to eat with, and there's lights on them, such a strange place, right? So, we take and we conquer the modalities and the paradigms of the world. The isa Eretz Yisrael, we make them holy. Gam es mitzi usui hagash mishal olam, inclusive of the physical aspects of the world. She'ein bazem mitzvah. They're not necessarily mitzvah. It's not necessarily a sukkah. It's a physical thing. You take it and you make it holy. Hu kavish mahafech lektusha. You conquer it, transform it to holiness. Look, it occurs to me that there are things that are above our level. But I remember I once asked, my first Tanya teacher was Rabbi Majeski. And when he was teaching us about the different worlds, I remember saying, like, I don't understand why we have to know about this. We're never going to be in these worlds. And he looked at me and he said, we have to know from where we fell. So we might not be able to look at every physical thing in our life and just see the Kedusha. We have to know what we have to aspire to, at least. And from this, we can understand and understand in sweeter fashion the famous aphorism of our Rebbes, that the answer to people who wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, Mach da Eretz Yisrael. Wherever you are, you make this place Eretz Yisrael. Asei kan Eretz Yisrael. Sheish lemer. She kabanasu bazahis leirak sheyasu bechinas Eretz Yisrael beruchnias. It wasn't only that the Rabbeim were saying that you should, on some spiritual, metaphoric level, make where you are Eretz Yisrael. Asiyu v'kiyum hatorah mitzvos. Kim gam ha'avoda ruchnis de kibush Eretz Yisrael. But there's a diuk here. There's a specificity that there's also the idea of kivush Eretz Yisrael, mach da Eretz Yisrael, haynu ha'asiya da hametziyah shel da le'Eretz Yisrael kivush. Take the da, take the physical material facts on the ground that present themselves to you, and transform them, and conquer them. Gam ha'artziyah shel chutz la'aretz gufa. The physical, material, corporeal aspects of chutz la'aretz. The Samaritan said, "Gam his askusay binyani harishus b'tzrocha b'gashmiim." You have to take everything in life, the things that just physical needs, the things that are permitted, they're a shus. It's not a mitzvah. It's permitted to eat breakfast. Tia ba'ofen d'lasayis ritzayin shel makayin. Make it something. You see what the Rebbe did with the word makim, with plate? Make it something that is the will of Hashem. One of the words of Hashem is makim. Gilui oirei v'yitzayna yisparach. You should reveal his light and his will, ben yonim hagashmiyim, in all physical matter. Shekol mitzios makim kipshutei. In yonim. Because their existence is makim. Dalit. But now we come to something really, really spectacular. Ulamatzinu, but we find Shabaderach Halichosum Shal Bnei Yisrael Lichbashes Eretz Yisrael Hayachet Hamaraglan. Okay, but we have to have Kibush Haaretz. So we have to understand that we might come to the same issue that the Meraglim had. There was a Chet Hamaraglan. And what was their taina? What was their complaint? What was their thought process? What was their thesis? She'i efshar lichvash es Eretz Yisrael. It's impossible to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Ki chazak hu mimeno. Because it is too strong for us. Ba'amir Azal. And our sages teach us, and you can look in the footnote, Gemara Seita, Gemara Menaches, Shamaraglam Amru. The Meraglim employed a particular metaphor. They said, kav yachal, as it were, afilu balabayis, even the owner of the land, eina yachal lahiti kelav misham. Even the ones of the house can't take out the vessels from the house. What does this mean? Shagam HaKadosh Baruch Hu kav yachal, even though the Jews knew that they're going with God and Hashem is going to conquer the land for them, but they were saying, as it were, that even Hashem, who owns the land, can't conquer the land. Now, what does that mean? Ena muvan. It would seem this is totally incomprehensible. Echal shinui min hakotel hakotel mamash. How is it possible that such a change should have occurred from one extreme to the other, b'matzavam haruchani raglim, in the spiritual standing and status of the scouts of the meraglim. Shemitchila kisherim hayu, we're told, Rashi tells us they were the de la creme. They weren't the riffraff. They were the greatest people of every shevet. Va'achaka kafru b'yecheles Hashem, and afterwards they actually doubted the capabilities of Hashem. V'gam harehim atzmam amru b'shas kalkalasam gufa, and while they were doing this avera, they said Shakadosh Baruch Hu balabayis. They admitted that Bishter is the balabayis of Eretz Yisrael. U'mikivan shakein ech loyhem minu shabiyecholto yisbar lichbash Eretz Yisrael. So how did they not believe that Hashem could conquer the land? They agreed and they understood and they said that the Ebishter is the Balabais. Babir bazeh bavayda ruchnis. So what's the explanation? And what do we learn for our avayda ruchnis? And remember, the Rebbe is saying that whatever we're going to learn here is basic and overarching and underpinning for all our avayda Hashem, because everything is contained in the beginning, and this is the first Rashi. So Yeshlaim Ad Rebbe says like this. Toichen ta'anosam hayu. What was the essence? What was the content of their complaint? Ech efshar lichbash Eretz Yisrael. What were they really saying when they said, how is it possible to conquer Eretz Yisrael? Hainu. K'nem al-le'il. Aved es Hashem gam v'kivushim shel inyonim ha-gashmim v'shapchusam l'kedusha mamash. They were pushing back at the idea that you can serve Hashem through conquering the physical and the material and transforming it to actual spirituality. Ad she'ein mitzias lahinyonim gashmi mitzad atzmam. You do this to the extent that the physical things don't exist in and of themselves. So they push back at that. Why? because they said, "Vari Hakadosh Baruch Hu Hu Shebara Es Haguf V'Chol In Yonim Agashmiim." The Eibishter is the one that created the body. The Eibishter is the one that created physicality. There are laws of science. V'Hu Matziva B'Toyra Sabin Shmartem Er L'Nafsh Sechem, and the Eibishter tells us that we must be very, very attentive to our physical body. The Gam Di Rambam, and the Rambam paskins, Heyos Haguf Bari V'Sholim Midarchei Avodas Hashem Hu. Keeping your body healthy and complete is of serving Hashem. And the Rambam says it's only when you're healthy that you can engage in all the other spiritual things that you have to do. Via Dua, Teres HaBal Shem Tabal Pasuk, Ki Tira Chamor Senecha Azvimay. And there's a very, very famous Teres HaBal on the word, when you see the donkey of your enemy struggling under its weight, you should help the donkey. So the Baal Shem Tov teaches that the chamor, the donkey, chamor is chumrius, is God. And when you're struggling physically, don't think that that's a way to serve Hashem through sigufim, through like people used to do, trying to weaken their bodies and aviating their bodies. No, azay tazav, you have to help the body. Lazor halago v'loy l'shabrei, you have to help the body and not break the body. We're not looking to weaken the body through fasts, through rolling in the snow and other things that people used to do. But we understand we have to help the body. So that means that everything in our tradition is telling us that there is a body, there is the physical, there is the material, there is the corporeal, and you have to take care of it. And the Magid of Mizrich taught us, asizvet akleine lechale in guf, when there's a small hole, when there's a small imperfection in the body, vet agreise loch in the neshama, then this causes it can affect the neshama in a way that's substantial. Like the small hole in the body causes a large hole in the neshama, as it were. In other words, we cannot ignore the physical body. There are spiritual ramifications to not honoring the existence of the physical. But Amar Hazal, and our sages further told us famously, Ein Soimchin Al Hanes. Don't rely on miracles. Hainu, shahateva v'gashmius ha'olam kava HaKadosh Baruch Hu begeder shel metzius v'tfisas makom. The physical nature of this world was established by God. It is an existence. It does take up space. It's not something to ignore. You could see where this could become a whole rant about what we're embroiled in, but we're going to resist the urge to do so. But we can't ignore physicality. You can't ignore the body. You can't ignore health. So going back to that term they used, that the owner of us can't take out the kelim. The kelim in the metaphor are the laws of nature, the laws of the physical world that the Eibishter created himself. Heim kelim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are the kelim. They are the vessels. They are the property. They are the furnishings of God. V'saskusas b'hem gam kein ratzon Hashem. And our engaging with this is also the will of Hashem. V'ech yeh b'yachel shal nefesh ha'leki av she'yichilek al-kam imal mamish lichpash ha'isam. So the miraglim were saying, look, there's a physical world. Eibishter created it. It's very, very clear that it's here. And it's very clear that it's part of our mandate to pay attention to it and to respect it. So how is it possible for the Nefesh Eloki to completely conquer and vanquish this aspect of life? Even if the Nefesh Eloki is a chelik al-kami mal mamash, how could it completely overtake the physical, levatel mitziyosam, to completely obviate its existence? B'sheyia behem ach v'rak inin hakadusha. How is it possible that we would just be left with the spiritual aspect and all this physicality? This would seem to be opposite of the nature that the Eibishter sunk into this world, established in this world. And in a condition. Because the Eibishter created a physical world where the fallacy has its own existence and it takes up space. It would then that God wanted the physical dimensions of the world. How is it possible then to completely obviate the physicality of the physical world that God himself created? It would seem that the physical world is not a keli, as it were. It's not meant to for this purpose. The physical is meant for the physical. The spiritual is meant for the spiritual. It's one thing you want to say that you want to use the physical for spiritual. Completely obviate it, so all you're left with is the spirituality shebedavar. The Miraglim were saying, that's not the way God created the world. Hainu. Mikiven shekadosh baruch hu kol yochel. Because the Eibishter can do anything, higbil kav yochel es atzmai. So he even limited himself. She'af shehu balabayis. So, you know, this is a famous philosophical conundrum. You know, can God create a rock that he can't lift, right? So they were saying that the Eibishter can do anything. So amongst the things that the Eibishter did, kav yochel, was that he created a possibility, even though he's the balabayis. He cannot take out the vessels from his own house. He can't change the laws of nature. This is why the Miraglim said we have to stay in the Midbar. Because in the Midbar we could serve God. Through keeping Torah mitzvahs, but they bucked against this idea of going into Eretz Yisrael and conquering Eretz Yisrael. Not possible. Not possible. Because the Balabayas can't take out his kelim. And in their complaint is eluded their kavana, their intention. Hamidbar. The midbar, the desert, bepashtos, simply speaking, who ain't makom yishuv b'nei adam. It's not a place where people can live long term. Ain't a roya, ve'ainim. It's not a place you can plant crops. It doesn't have water, v'chulu. Ubiruchnius, and spiritually speaking, huzman umatzav she'ain adam osuk b'nyanim hagashmim. Spiritually speaking, the midbar alludes to a time in a person's life where they're not concerned with and they're not distracted by and they're not consumed with physicality. Yishuv shel olam, the normal way in which you inhabit the world. Vizu hitainis ha-meraglim, and the meraglim avodas Hashem shayeches rak b'kima Torah mitzvahs, v'zeh tzarech li'yis b'midbar. Serving Hashem has to do with keeping Torah mitzvahs. Where can you keep Torah mitzvahs most effectively? In the midbar. When can you do Torah mitzvahs? When you have free time. When your time is made up from the necessary physical aspects of life. That's when you could serve Hashem. But when you come into the land that is inhabited by the other nations, meaning a normal life, when you're forced and it's necessary to engage in physicality, because this is the way the Eibishter created. They're the kelim of Hashem. These are the rules of nature. These are the rules of science. This is the way the world works. It's impossible. It's impossible to conquer these aspects and to bring them under the dominion of holiness and to completely obviate the physical aspect of it. It's impossible. Avol be'emes ta'uz gedoyla ta'u bazeh. Very big mistake. In truth, this was a very big mistake. Tachlis kavonas habriya shel inyanim hagashmiyim v'tachlis kavonas tzivui Hashem lasik behem, because the whole purpose of creating the entire world, the physical, the material, and the whole kavana, the whole intention of Hashem's commandment that we engage with, is only in order to bring into this holiness. Because the Eibishter's overwhelming desire was for a dira, for an apartment, for an abode, for a dwelling place, in this lower aspect, in the physical. The chol tfisas makom, and all the ways in which the physical material take up this, the way in which they stress. This is reality. We are here. We are the ground. All of this, shalan yana magashmim, he rak bichdeish alideze yismali ratzin Hashem, lasez mitachtainim, dear la yisbarach. It's only because the Eibishter's will that we take this lower realm, all the physical, material, corporeal aspects, and make from it the abode for Hashem. O kamay merazal, Shakol in Yane Ailam Nivru Bishvil Hatayr Shinikras Rashis Ubishvil Yisrael Shinikru Rashis. And this is also part of the second part of Rashi here, that the whole entire world was created for two things that are called Rashis. Bays Rashis, the word Bereshis, Bays Rashis. There are two things called Rashis, Yisrael and the Tayr. Ubamela Muvan, Shemitza Tachlis Hakavana, Harehim Kalim Laar Hakadusha. So when you look at the Gashmis and you say, there is no way that this is a Kali, there's no way to absorb Kedusha, there's no way that we can circumvent this, that we can reappropriate this, that we can bring Kedusha into this realm. The Rebbe says, but it was all created only for this purpose. So it's not only that we can. We are obligated to conquer the land of all these other nations and to make it all Eretz Yisrael. Like we said above, because it's only in this fashion that we fulfill the will of Hashem from this lower realm. There is nothing lower than this realm, and to make from it, dira lo yisborach. And this is yaser me ahavoida binyane kedusha meikara. And this is Hashem's will that completely eclipses His desire even for our avoida, that in holiness to begin with. So there's davening, and I think that this is very, very relatable to us as women, because so much of our life has to do with gashmias, it has to do with the physical and the material, and the Rebbe says that the Eibishter desires this much, much more than being able to daven uninterrupted in shul, or learn for hours and hours uninterrupted in kollel, or whatever it is, because this is the emissa making from the Adir Lo Yisbarach Vihine. And this is really something very, what the Rebbe says here, Vihine al derech al dvar tainas miraglim. And because the miraglim is taina, because the miraglim had this taina that it's impossible to really conquer the land, mimena nishtal shlagam ta'anasam shal omas ha'elam. That's where the pushback from the other nations devolved. It devolved from the taina of the miraglim. This is absolutely, I think, fascinating. In other words, you would think that the other nations, they have a logical taina. They live in this land. You're coming to conquer our land. It's our land, right? But the Rebbe says, no, but their pushback, they shouldn't have been pushback. They shouldn't have been pushback because God Almighty decided that now was time for the Jews to come into this land. And the nations of the world should have been kind of saturated with fear of for God's will. But because the Jews had resistance, and this happens a lot, And that's where their resistance came from. Their resistance came from our resistance, from the Meraglim not being sure that this enterprise could is possible. So when the Meraglim were not sure this enterprise is possible, so then the Umas HaElam were like, uh-huh, that's right, of course, you can't come here, this is our land. Kisha Adam loy mitem spalo mekayim mitzvos the ena asu bi shuv shel olam. When learning, davening, doing mitzvahs, and he's not busy with the world, with yishuv olam, he's not busy with aspects of this world. Az efsha sheyaskimu ha'umay sheba b'sha olav lahagish ha'ar elaki b'akdusha. Then this makes sense. The whole world can understand that people have spiritual times. So they go to spa, they do their nails, and they also have, they do yoga. Or they commune with their essence, or they go to a spiritual seeker, or they get enlightened. That's part of the world. And that's the part of the day. And everybody could understand. And all the other Umas HaElam, they understand when you're doing something spiritual, you can feel the light of God. Aval ba'askei b'yeshuva shel olam. But when you're busy going to work, when you're busy making dinner, when you're busy with the stuff, life, sha'az ein shayach avodas Hashem. That's not shayach avodas Hashem. There's nothing holy about that. Ubemela, bizmanim elut tzrichim lisnahig ba'ofen hamatim litziyurim shel inyanim agash mitzad atzma. So when you're doing physical things, you have to act in a way that jibes with and is calibrated of those pieces. When you're in the gym, be like everybody else in the gym. When you're dressed in this crazy outfit, you're in the gym, dress like everybody else. When you're at work, like everybody else. This is not something holy. This is not something spiritual. That's the other nations say to us, you're stealers. You're robbers. Shekivashtem arts as shivas goyim. That you're coming to conquer the land, seven nations. In other words, what's wrong with you? You want to be holy in holy times when you go to church. Okay, we understand that's holy. But now you're coming and you're saying that everything can be holy. You're robbers. Ki binyanim gashmim, eretz shiva goyim. Stop with this idea that every aspect of life can be pervaded with holiness. How can you say that? Every aspect of life has its own geder, it has its own category, has its own nature, it has its own rules. Now we can understand all the words that Rashi is using, because it seems very verbose. It seems like Rashi's spilling a lot of extra ink, but the Rebbe, every part of Rashi, and he's saying they gave this land to the other nations, meaning yes, there is such a thing as a physical world and different aspects of the physical world, and they have their rules, and they have their regulations, and they have protocols. And here comes the Jew and says, what kind of protocols? Everything is really holiness. It's just a matter of revealing the holiness that is found in every aspect of the world. The Adab, and the Rebbe says even more, Lahem Mishpat HaKadima. The other nations were in Eretz Yisrael before we were. They have first dibs. They were there first. They came first before in Yonei HaTorah mitzvahs. Kim demuchach miseder Yonei b'Torah. Look at the Torah. Haschalasa bevreishes v'goyim ebriyas ha'olam Yonei b'achar kach l'achar arichas shal yosem echumash olim. Bahat mishal mitzvahs ha'chidus delachem. What came first? First came the creation of a world. The nations were in that part of the world. And after a whole chumash, we have the first mitzvah. In other words, Gashmius precedes Torah and mitzvahs by a long shot. So they have like schus kadima. They were there first, kind of like squatter's rights. Aval kol ta'anosam to'us v'sheker. But all of this is actually a lie. Why? ki tachlis hakavana b'harasim binyanim hagashmim hu rak lasis mehem ubahim dira lo yisbara petach tainim. And this is why this is the first Rashi of the whole Torah. Because this Rashi, the Rebbe says, the blatant lie. Yes, it's true that the physical world was created, but why was it created? What is the tachlis hakavana? What is the overarching stated mandate? And in Vav, the Rebbe says, al pizeh, and once we understand this, muvan dio kaloshen koyach ma'asav higid la'amai. Now we understand the inclusion of the word koyach, the strength of his doings, of his actions. In order to completely remove the complaints of the other nations, and these are the other nations within us that come to say, come on, let's get real. When you're making dinner, that's supposed to be holy, really? When you're diapering the kids, when you're, whatever it is. So in order to take away a simple level of the time, it's enough to know that this is what Eibishter did. The Eibishter gave the Jews the land. That's it. This is it. That's what the Eibishter did. He's the boss. Ki adrabe zuhu yisoy tanas. Mikivan shen yonim hagashmim he masav shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hare listim atem shekavashtem arzat shivas goyim. Because they're saying the Eibishter created a world. The Eibishter created laws of nature. And you are stealers and you are robbers that you're coming and you're trying to reappropriate it. So the Rebbe says, Ki mapirush shekoyach. What does the word koyach add to the whole understanding? Hakavana v'hatach shehem apnimis v'hakoyach shel masav higid la'amoy. So the word koyach masav comes to teach us a very simple thing. Yes, there are laws of nature. Yes, the Eibishter allowed the other nations to live in this land before us. Yes, these things predate the first mitzvah. But what is the koyach for all of this? What is the stated mandate? What is the pnimius? What is the kavana? What is the intention of the Eibishter in all of this? Umidayik higit. Now we're answering the other question. Why higit? Why not amar? Why not siper? So look in footnote 41. And the Rebbe brings down in a few places where the Gemara says that Higid is Miloshen Agada, that just like Agadata, the Agadata of the Gemara kind of pulls the heart, it is able to kind of to
it elicits emotion.
It elicits emotion. It allows you to kind of win over the heart of the. So that's what is being understood here, that koyach masav higid la'amai, that the Eibush did this in a way where he's telling us, in a way that can, like you said, thank you, whoever it was that said it, elicit our emotion, win over our hearts, and teach us in a way that's deep and that penetrates into our essence, that what is the koyach of masav? What is the tension? What is the true strength? What's the wind behind the sails? Don't get caught up in the sails. Don't get caught up in which the Olam Yilashon Helam presents itself, because it's the to the ma. And Alpihanal Muvenis Shapir. And through this, we understand better Gamkin Ha'arichus Bekushias Rashi. Now we understand why Rashi seems to be spilling so much extra ink. Loi Hayat Sark Lahasil Zatara Ella. mechodesh hazelachem shehi mitzvah rishonish nistavu bo Yisrael. Rashi says the Torah shouldn't have started with what it does. It should have started with hachodesh hazelachem, which is the first mitzvah. Uma tam pasach bereishis. And what is the reason that it starts with bereishis? And all of this nireis kefel lashon. It seems to be redundant. Rashi could have simply and succinctly said, "Hitchil hater bevreishes v'loy b'chaydus hazelachem mishom." He didn't have to ask the question. He could have just said, "The Torah starts like this and doesn't start with the first mitzvah in order to teach you X, Y, and Z." Why does he start with "loy hayatzarach lahatir l'tayr"? The Torah shouldn't have begun that way. Ela kavanasei shel Rashi lahadgish ulaharich. But through this, Rashi wants to underscore in elongated fashion, that yes, the world was created with laws of nature that seem to be shayach to umas ha'olam. They seem to not necessarily be Eretz HaKodesh, Eretz Yisrael, to be spiritual. Ela shetachlis b'ikra ha'kol. Yes, that's true, but the reason and the main thing of all of this, who inyan hatorah mitzvahs, hashayach rak liYisrael. All of this, all of the laws of nature, the entire universe, all of the galaxies, all of this is only for the purpose of Torah mitzvahs. And this is shayach only to B'nai Yisrael. It's really only about the mitzvah. Yisrael. But this all has to happen. But that's how the Ibishter wanted it, that all of this should present itself as facts on the ground that seem to be impervious and impenetrable. We should be kovish. We should engage in the kvishas Eretz Yisrael. It's not that we should live in Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael, but that we should be kovish the world. And that in itself, that exercise is the point of how the Eibishter created the world. We would think without this Rashi, without the way that the Rebbe explains the Rashi, that we just have to sit pretty and do what we're told to do and steer clear of what we're not supposed to do. Stop making trouble. No, it comes and teaches us, that would have been a certain modality, but that's not what the Ebesha did. He created the world, gracious Barlakim. He started the whole Torah with how there's a world, and the world has this and this and that and other things. And then comes Achayus Elohim. What's this teaching us? That we came into this world to turn it inside out and upside down. That we came in here to transform, that we came in here to raise holy hell, to do kivush haaretz. Umitaret umivatel hakushya. And he explains and he obviates the question, sha'adarabah. On the contrary, hatayra shehi hakayach v'tachlis ma'asav. The Torah, which is the koyach, the real wind behind the sails, the real strength, the real reason, and the tachlis of everything that David should create in Masav, matchila, begins with, and it shows us, v'ikar tachlisa, that the main point of what we're supposed to be doing, the main intention, levatel ha'helem shebemas al hakoyach. Our main job is to take away the helem, take away that which obscures and obfuscates the Eibishter's own world, like the Alter Rebbe says, is the shell in which the turtle retreats, right? To call the bluff of the whole world in order to read the koyach shebehem, to reveal the truth, to reveal the strength, to reveal the real reason it is. Lachain hitzchil baze. That's why the whole Torah starts with the creation of the world. Lahagid ulahamshich ulegalois hakoyach vahataklis hakoyach masa. In other words, we didn't come into this world to sit on top of the Himalayas and meditate on our navel and to divorce and divest ourselves from the gashmias of this world and to build walls around us and to sit in kailil and all this stuff. No, we came into this world to be part of this world. Bereshis baralakim es ha-shamayim v'sa'aretz. But we have to remember, koyach ma'asav higid la'amoy. He told us what the real kayach is. He told us what the real purpose is, what the real tachlis is. Hakayach masav lahamshich elokus binyanim gashmiyim. To bring down elokus in dvarim gashmiyim. To take the bereshis bara and to make it the dir leizbarach b'tachtayim. And to do kivush ha'aretz. And not to get stuck on the tain of the meraglim. That, no, this is not the place that you could do this. You can't do this here. So really you can see in this everything. You can see in the whole idea of shlichus is in the sicha, the whole idea of mitzayim. Everything that is distinctive to who we are as Chabad Hasidim is really right here in the first Rashi as exculpated by the Rebbe. It's really all about Kivush Haaretz. So if you should help us, and we should be able to do our part, and we should mizal eisfin de kavona, that as stated in this first Rashi, and this is the beginning. This is a new beginning, and looking very much forward to our weekly learning together. Kol tov, a very
thank you so much.
Yashir Koach.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.